Hello, I'm Conrad, and this is another episode of Fool's Daily. I thought I'd mix it up and do it the other way around. And I'm joined again by a young gentleman called Rick Priestley.
Hello there, I'm Rick Priestley. Still.
We're back to talk about Games of Antares again.
Beyond the Gates of Antares. I tend to just call it Antares because it saves an awful lot of time.
Yeah.
It's quite a mouthful. I wanted to give the game a distinctive name, and I've given it a game name that's distinctive, but no one calls it the same thing.
Oh, it's a BTGOA, which is probably how it will end up.
People call it Goa, GOA. The trouble is, if you put Goa into a search engine, you get all sorts of stuff about the place in India.
So, and, of course, Monty Python starts springing to mind. Is your wife a Goa?
It's Goa. Not me.
That's me.
Yeah.
So we covered Kickstarter and sort of a brief background on the game.
Yes,
we
spent many words talking about my abject failure to get a Kickstarter together.
I think you should blame it on the community myself.
Thank you for that painful memory. hopefully we can get to talk a little bit about the game itself now, because it's starting to come together nicely. And I know I went very quiet after the Kickstarter. Well, that's because the Kickstarter is a very exhausting process, and I wanted to just take a step back and then figure out how I could actually realise the game that I'd already started to work on. And because it wasn't the Kickstarter, I was able to just step back, take a completely different view, how we were going to fund it and how we were going to develop it. And one of the things that was really apparent from all the playtesting I did initially with the original game's design was that everyone I played with said, "Well, this is kind of getting there, Rick, but why don't you just use the bolt action order dice system?" And I went, "Because Alessio invented that, that's why."
But we can't have Alessio stuff in my stuff.
Damn curses, you say. Yeah, but of course, now that it's being funded by Warlord Games internally, we can use it. It's not a problem. I mean, Warlord Games own that system. Mm-hmm. So I eventually thought, oh, God damn it, okay, let's give it a go. And so I played a few games with Bolt Action. And of course, it worked like a dream, because it would do.
had you played Bolt Action before then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I co-wrote Bolt Action with Alessio.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I've also worked on various supplements for Bolt Action, including, I think I ended up writing most of the French army list in the Axis and the Allies book. Yeah, so I'm quite familiar with Bolt Action. I play Russians, comrade.
So you slip the dice mechanic, the orders dice mechanic system into the...
Yeah, do you know how that works? Bolt Action plays well.
I've never played it, but it is, from what I understand... you explain it.
I'll explain it. You're lost, Conrad. You must have
a go. It's beckoning.
it's fairly simple.
Salute is round the corner.
It is. You come and have a look. You take a... every unit in your army has a dice, mm-hmm. and it'll be of a particular colour. So let's say you're the blue and I'm green. So for every unit in your army, you have a blue dice and I have a green dice. We put them all in a bag and draw them blind one at a time. And if we pull out one of your dice, your unit, you assign it to a unit and the unit goes. We pull out another dice, and it could be yours or it could be mine, and whichever one it is, we assign it to a unit and have a go. And you work your way through the bag like this. And the actual dice, although you can use ordinary dice numbered 1 to 6, the actual order dice that Warlords sell have an order written on them, which would be, you know, run, fire, ambush, assault, so on. And So you can buy special dice to use, and that's the basic system. And then it's a clever little system.
My understanding was correct. Basically, pulling out orders from a bag, as such.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are a few games that have worked in a similar way in the past. Drawing chits. I think one of the versions of Epic did, if I remember right. But it's not a completely original idea in itself, but the way it combines is quite original. And the gameplay is very... it just works really well for a game of about that size, which is to say probably under 20 units a side.
20 units, did you say?
Yeah, units.
Right, so that's...
Could be five.
How many figures roughly in a unit at the moment are we looking at?
Well, in Bolt Action, it tends to be about 10, but in Beyond the Gates of Antares, it's actually about five.
Okay, so small squads.
Yes, small squads, because on the whole, science fiction figures are bigger, chunkier, more expensive to buy than historical figures.
Yep.
That's just the way of it. I think 10 figures to a unit is just too much. They're too much to paint, because they're complicated to paint compared to historical figures, and they're too expensive to buy.
Yep.
And they fill a lot of space upon the table.
Oh, really?
Well, 10 figures do. You make a big chunk. Whereas 5 figures, I think, is a playable little unit. So 5 is roughly the size in Antares. You can go bigger. You can make the units bigger if you want. But 5's the standard size. And you typically have, say, maybe 5 to 10 units.
So it's sort of from 25 to 50-ish figures.
Yeah, yeah, and you can go bigger, but the mechanic for pulling the dice, it does suit games of a fairly small size. I'd say skirmish, large skirmish size.
Yep.
Actually, it's exactly the size.
Large skirmish?
Yeah, that 40K used to play to.
Yep.
And it's exactly the size that the original Rogue Trader 40K was designed for, and probably the next edition as well. And what happened was Games Workshop, in a rather blatant attempt to sell more fish, I say fish, I mean toy soldiers.
I thought it was code word. Sell GW more fish. Code word.
It is. That's what he used to say. So it's all about selling more. It's because there was a brief anecdote. There was a fish bar around the corner from the Games Workshop factory in Eastwood.
Okay.
It's called Queenie's Fish Bar.
Yeah.
And they all the other fish bars in the area went bust. Queenie's Fish Bar kept going. And our sales guy, I think it was Chris Harbour, went in. He says, "What's your secret?" And they said, "Sell more fish." I said, "What?" He says, "Yes, sell more fish. Make more money out of fish than you do anything
else." He could have made money out of that and set up like management consultancy agent and sold that information.
I am available. Fill more fish. Sell more fish, yeah. So because Games Workshop wanted to sell more fish, they tended to pump the size of the games and have broken them, I think. So... Yeah. Warhammer, and particularly Warhammer, but Warhammer and 40K now seem to demand fairly large forces and often very big models. You know, these
Tonka
big kits,
toys, yes.
Tonka toy kits, because to me it just breaks. It breaks the game. When you get a situation where you're trying to play a game on a 4 foot by 6 foot table, and one of these Tonka toys is about a foot by a foot.
Need a bigger table, or you've I've got to admit, we've got a growth in 40K at the club, and right. I'd say half of the guys are playing 40K at the club at the moment, and it does look nice, and the models are nice, but you know, with that comes a huge amount of expense as well. I haven't played any 8th edition at all because, from what I heard, you needed more troops, and I wasn't prepared to invest any more money. You know, I like skirmish games. I like large skirmish games. I like squad-based games. And I like games where I'm having fun as well. So
yeah, well, I think I would tick all of those boxes. Well, I say not me personally, but I also like all those things. To me, there's no joy in contemporary Warhammer or 40K, but a lot of people enjoy it, and that's fine. And I'm
there's still a big market for it, and there's people who are playing competitively at tournaments and for fun sort of thing. So it's still selling and it's still doing well.
Yes.
So good luck to it.
Me too. I say the same thing, and I wouldn't like to be seen to be openly criticising those games or people that enjoy them, because it takes all sorts, doesn't it?
Exactly.
But my own personal style of gaming is much more, a bit more relaxed. I enjoy skirmishes, and I enjoy stories. I enjoy games that have a story, a narrative to them.
You know, exactly.
Almost role playing, and that's what the original Rogue Trader was, and it's what 40K was in its earliest days.
Mm.
But of course, many players now, well, if they're in the teens, those things are ancient history for them. They won't remember that. They weren't alive.
It's whether or not they get the hook in to go in, and it's like the old days again. It's like going to the library and exploring the wealth of information that's there in terms of books and knowledge. I suppose the internet's there to a certain extent, but it's not the same. You've still got to read. You've got to put the effort in. You've got to pick up a book, have the yearning to go away and discover, and then start looking and finding stuff. And it's easier to do in this day and age because of the internet, but
there's less incentive to do it.
Exactly, because we're living in an instant gratification age.
Yeah, yeah. Well, never mind. It still leaves old salts like me to continue ploughing this particular furrow.
But it amazes me that, you know, we are in that age, but wargaming, is, as far as I'm concerned, is still doing very well. So, you know, new games like Antares are still, I would hope, going to be well supported, and there's still an interest for it.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, there are lots of other science fiction games out there now, and, you know, it's becoming a crowded marketplace. And some people might even say, well, why do we need another one? And I have to get a look at it and go, hey, you don't. if you're enjoying whatever you play,
that's fine.
And I've always said that. I said that at Games Workshop, and people would, you know, you'd come up to me at events and say, you know, how should I paint this? I paint it how you like, you know. It's like,
yellow.
I remember the guys getting quite upset about painting orcs green when we went through a no all orcs are green phase. But it was only an internal message. People wanted to paint their orcs pink. There's no, you know, do what you like, guys.
Yeah. Anyway, back to Antares. so once you got the order dice bit.
Yeah.
Nailed down. Is it nailed down, do you think?
I think the order dice bit is nailed down. There are a few little tweaks. It's not quite the game that Bolt Action is. I've made some adjustments to it. But that's essentially the same as Bolt Action. But the main difference is, instead of being D6 driven, I've made the game D10 driven. I've actually used a crude percentage or a decimal system. So if you have a factor of 7 on your stat sheet, mm-hmm. you basically roll a D10, and if you score 1 to 7, you succeed. 8 to 10 will fail. So it's like a crude percentage or a decimal system.
Yeah.
And it's very... The reason I've chosen that is because you can turn that into a role-playing game very easily. Yeah, 7 to 70.
Okay, yep.
And you can also take it back the other way and just amalgamate stats up if you wanted to turn it into a big action game. So by having a decimal kind of system, it's infinitely expandable in both directions, detail and more general.
So is that a bit of forward thinking?
Yeah.
Or is that potentially that there's things down the line that may happen?
Well, it's so far down the line that it's perhaps not even worth speculating about. But I would, yeah.
The groundwork's there.
Yeah, yeah, and also, my idea is, sorry, dog's barking.
That's okay.
My idea is that if we do a small skirmish game, some of those skirmishes can be very small, and you can use the same system.
Yeah.
So instead of units being 5 figures, you can break them down into individual figures and play that little Western gunfight equivalent.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean, the gunfight in the OKT rooms, as it were.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do all that. I've used a decimal system throughout, so to hit what I call resistance, which is like a saving throw, but it incorporates armor and so on and so forth. That mechanic drives pretty much everything through the system, including movement to some extent. So although movement's fixed, when you hit terrain that's hard going, you have to test against your agility to see if you can get through it.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. It's quite role-play. It's a little bit of old-fashioned role-playing mechanic in all this. But I think that's
a good thing. It sounds good because you...
But it's different. I think a lot of modern games, even the skirmish ones like Infinity, seem to be based very strongly around the game as a pure thing.
Mm.
You know, they don't accommodate reality. The rules are almost rigid. And the reality they're describing is quite an abstract one. But it's very similar to a card game system because of that. And I think some players enjoy that. That's not a problem. But I don't. I like to go, well, if this were a real situation and I really were to do that, how would I achieve it? You know, which is a classic role-playing kind of approach.
No, absolutely, yeah. Get a JCB and knock the wood down.
Yes, that's the way.
So, how far off are we from the rules being ready, do you think?
I've got what I call a basic set, which means they've got all the basic rules for infantry, but nothing really fancy. Almost ready now. In fact, we're going to start doing a PDF of it, and that'll be available mid-year, I'm thinking June or July, mm-hmm. as a PDF download. And that's the first kind of appearance of it. It's an alpha version, if you like.
Okay. Now, you said infantry then, so that...
I've tended to use those sort of phrases, but yeah, all I mean really is that there's no rules for vehicles.
Oh, then, but there is, do you think that there's scope for that?
Oh, well, for vehicles, yes, I just haven't got the rules done.
Okay.
I've got a kind of proto set of rules for vehicles, and we've improvised rules for vehicles during our playing sessions. But I haven't settled on anything yet. The version I've kind of working towards is just similar to the bolt action, the way bolt action treats vehicles, which is basically with a subchart. So roll to hit, penetrate, subchart.
Yeah.
Which is, I was trying to do something a bit cleverer than that, but the trouble is it works. And sometimes, you know, people make a lot of originality in games. And you go, yeah, I don't want the game to be original. I want it to work. The originality could be in lots of other aspects of the game. You know, its background. And, it can have some clever little mechanics. Not a problem. They can be original.
I kind of think that the originality of the fact in that sort of situation is the fact that the game, as you said, the game works and it plays well. It's elegant.
Yeah.
And then you get drawn into whatever the game's about. And if there's extra goodies on the side in terms of, you know, well thought out scenarios, play that you can play, or sort of campaigns or whatever, or everything else then adds to builds on the rule set, that's what it will make it work rather.
Yeah, no, I think you've got it bang on there. It's sometimes you can just use tried and trusted mechanics just to build your game. There's nothing wrong with that, and that's kind of what I'm thinking I might do with vehicles. But at the moment, all the rules focus on like an infantry action,
mm-hmm.
with command squads or characters.
So it's a science fiction thing as well, which we should probably mention that. So is there any sort of pressure from Warlord, or you know, from yourself even, on when this is going to... Is there an ETA for the rules to be sort of finally published as such?
Yeah, it'll be about a year on from when we do our first alpha, so I'm looking for the middle of next year.
Wow, okay.
But that will depend on us ticking a few boxes between now and then,
yeah.
One of which is development of plastics. So we're actually designing metal figures at the moment, some of which are digital sculpts and some of which are traditional sculpts. And once we've got a number of ranges sorted, it'll give us a better idea of what the commercial potential of each is. Because if we do something that's tremendously popular, it perhaps informs a decision further along the line.
Yep.
If we do something expecting it to be popular, but it isn't, that also tells you something further down the line.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I don't want to commit to making machine tools to do plastic injection molding until we're pretty sure what our equivalent of a space marine is, if I can use a Games Workshop analogy.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't want to go in there and make a machine tool that's going to make a squat, or, sorry about that, or, you know, something minor. It has to be what's going to be popular.
Yeah.
And the actual rules, I think once I've got the basics out there, there'll be the opportunity for people then to start feeding in and developing and just telling us what they like or don't like. And that will help tremendously. And then we're going to launch the model ranges. So the model ranges will come out about the middle of this year, start to come out.
Okay.
Properly. And then we'll add to that as we go. Yeah.
Right. We've gone long again. Yeah, we've run long again.
Yeah,
but I think people probably want more.
Yeah, okay. Well, we could do more, can't we, Conrad? It's not a problem.
But until then, I've been Conrad.
And I've been Rick.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.